time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Tuesday, and we are live at the Wildcat Golf Club.
Yes, we are.
Party here for the occasional invitational presented by SiteJab. It's been fun so far, and the guys haven't even teed off yet. Guys and ladies, I should say.
No, they haven't. It's rather crowded here. We are in the clubhouse. We see a bunch of people eating, a bunch of people drinking, and I'm not going to lie, like, now I'm sort of thinking to myself, should I have taken a day off? Maybe
eventually
shave the beard.
Drink.
Come
eventually
here with a mustache. No, I don't think I'm going to today.
Really? Okay. How'd that go?
See, you're so sarcastic. No,
Friday.
This time.
You
not
said
happening.
You were going to drink on Friday.
Nope. No. We got golf to play.
We do have golf to play. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. We got Noah on site with us, and of course Sean Mapes back in the studio. And you know who we had at Texans mandatory mini camp today?
Oh, you were out there today.
I was. Laramie Tunsil was there.
Laramie Tunsil actually showed up today. About time.
Yeah, anything that rhymes with Jeremy, he puts on his little
I sang a love ballad about Laramie Tunsil and the Texans trading for him a couple of years ago. So that's where it all started, Vanessa. I'm glad he's there because it was a bad look that he wasn't. It's mandatory, too, so I'm guessing he wants to make sure he keeps all that paper.
He probably does not want to get fined, but yes, a lot of questions on whether he would, A, be with the Texans, B, what the heck was that injury, and C, would he be at mandatory minicamp? Yes, he was there today. He was getting in work. So it was good to see him out there. Maybe a little more continuity for the Texans in a year where they need it with a second-year quarterback.
Yeah, that would be neat. I would like the quarterback to not die. Generally, when your quarterback is getting bludgeoned to death every single down, that's not good for development. That's just me. So I'm glad that this Laramie Tunsil's out there. We'll see how the rest of the offensive line comes together. I mean, look, this year is not going to be a whole lot of fun, Vanessa. I'm waking up today, and I was driving in, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so here we are. We got the Texans. They're a mess. We got the Rockets. They're a ways away, but we get to talk about the third overall draft pick very soon. The Astros bullpen is trash last night. And right as a graphic shows on the broadcast on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest, hey, the Astros bullpen, it's the best at baseball. Blech, they puke everywhere, and I'm also mad about the Celtics, so great.
They did. You are mad about everything, yep. Which is super random because you're almost never mad. But no, I mean, we do have a lot to talk about and get throughout the show. We're going to talk a little Phil Mickelson 9/11 comments. We do have former NFL coach Rick Venturi, who's going to join the show and talk about the AFC South. He's now doing radio with the Colts. And we start, of course, with things that make Paul Gallant angry, our resident Celtics fan,
our Boston native.
Last night, they couldn't get going, even though Steph Curry was 0-for-9 from the three-point line, only scored 16 points. They had other guys like Andrew Wiggins that stepped up when they needed it.
And they still got their asses kicked. And look, you guys can laugh all you want. You know, I can be your little monkey. I can be your pinata. I can dance for you. You can revel in my misery.
It's getting kinky.
But man, you know, there's something about this team that reminds me of those Rockets teams in the late 2010s. And here's why. Nonstop complaining. It's like James Harden and Chris Paul times 100. You know, I get it. Sometimes calls don't go your way, but the amount of complaining that this team has done to the refs, I felt like I was turning on them throughout last night's game. Forget the fact that they can't hit a free throw and they can't dribble, which is basically me playing pickup basketball. This team also consistently looks for calls, and man, it's just so frustrating that this is what a lot of sports have become. I get it. You're mad because Draymond Green is basically walking onto the Celtics bench trying to take away a ball from Jason Tatum. You're not getting the technical foul called on Draymond Green when you get technicaled for talking to the referees and having an issue with the call. But the amount of complaining that the Celtics have done, Vanessa, over the last couple of games, and just the amount of just dumb plays, I'm like, you guys deserve this. You guys deserve to be down 3-2. You deserve to be done in 6 on Thursday.
At least you're not complaining about or acting like it's the Warriors that are being overplayed. I mean,
no, Steph was terrible last night. They still won by 10.
Draymond Green, 8 points, 8 rebounds.
He had a good game.
6 dimes. He had a good game. I mean, for Draymond Green, that was solid. The Celtics, This was a stat that caught my eye. 18 turnovers.
Oh, my gosh.
5 were by Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. Jaylen Brown can't dribble, and I really like Jaylen Brown. I trust him more than anybody on that team, especially Jason Tatum, who, when he's not texting Kobe Bryant and then posting about it on social media.
Oh, that was weird.
He's pretending to be Kobe Bryant on the court with just absolutely horrible mid-range fadeaways that he decided to turn around on for no reason at all. I trust Jaylen Brown, but he can't dribble. So, yeah, that's not good.
Do you text or tweet or write on Facebook walls of people that have gone on the other side and died? Because I think it's
I have at some point in my life, but it's been a while.
It's something that came to my attention recently, and it's just a little bit strange. So 18 turnovers for the Celtics total. Andrew Wiggins, 26 points.
How is he good
rebounds.
Now? What happened?
Here's the obnoxious thing about the Golden State Warriors is when one of them has a bad night, like maybe their superstar Steph Curry, Draymond does fine, whatever, they are going to have somebody random, like Andrew Wiggins, who drops 26 points and 13 rebounds.
Yep.
And that's what makes it work.
But Wiggins has been playing really well for Golden State in
yes.
these playoffs, to the point where now I'm wondering, hey, I mean, when the Rockets were doing their fire sale, were they interested in Andrew Wiggins, who used to be a dirt cheap, like, commodity? And now, I mean, what you've seen from him ever since joining Golden State, he's confident, he's aggressive. It's been remarkable, and I'll give him a lot of credit for being able to turn it around. That's what Golden State's always been. This is a tough team. They've been here a million times, and it is interesting, as you mentioned, Vanessa, like all of their star players, like Klay Thompson's not the same guy anymore. Draymond Green's not the same guy anymore, though he did play well last night. And Steph Curry might be hurt all of a sudden, because this is what we always say when Steph Curry struggles.
Right.
He's 0-for-9 from the field. But Andrew Wiggins, man, he was really good in this game, and got to give Golden State a lot of credit. And I'm so pissed at the Celtics. Like, I'm more just angry. It's like a son who got in trouble at school right now.
You're a dad.
Yeah, I'm a dad.
Klay Thompson, 21 points, 5 threes for Klay. Totally.
Yeah, it was a quiet night for Klay, though. I honestly didn't even notice it.
He didn't make a big impact defensively.
Every single time, Vanessa, I saw Steph take a three, I assumed in. He missed every single one, and I still was assuming that he was going to make every shot he took. And I still lost by 10.
You know what's cool about Steph Curry, though, is that he doesn't care who gets the credit, and he doesn't really seem to care if he has a bad game. Not in that he doesn't want to get better. He does, but he's genuinely happy for Andrew Wiggins and is like, as long as we got the win, I'm good.
He's genuinely happy for him, and his confidence isn't shaken. And Sean Mapes behind the glass, I don't know if you can grab this for me really quickly, but I did get a kick out of Steph saying these comments after the game.
I'm not afraid to, go 0 for whatever because I'm going to keep shooting.
Shoot or shoot.
Shoot or shoot.
You know, and whether it's the incredibly overconfident guy at the bar who will talk to any person.
Are you familiar with that?
No,
guy?
I am not that guy at all. But there are people like that who you look at them and you're like, why are you so confident? And yet they keep shooting and shooting. And generally it ends up working out for people that have that kind of confidence in life. I used to get mad, though, when guys who weren't hitting kept on shooting. Like, whenever James Harden had a game where James Harden would just – it wasn't his night from outside. And I was like, hey, how about shoot from the mid-range? How about, attack the basket? And he would just keep on shooting because I thought he was lazy. That would drive me crazy. But I, in the case of Steph, I guess it's a little bit different because you always expect the shots to go in, especially when he had as many open looks as he did. So now everyone is of the opinion, Vanessa, that in Game 6 that Steph Curry is going to come back and he is going to rain nuclear fire upon the city of Boston because he played so poorly in this past game.
It could happen, and they only need to win one more game to get the ship. All right,
thanks.
So where can the you're welcome. Where can the Astros improve? They fell to the Rangers last night. Here's the sound from when the Rangers came from behind and took the lead from the Astros.
1-2 to Miller, and he bounces it to the open left side. It's through, base hit. Duran scores, and the Rangers have their first lead of the night. What an inning.
No, it was a bad inning. Shut up, Rangers broadcaster.
The Astros continue their really odd pattern of losing to bad teams.
Yeah. And look, Texas is a little better than bad. I think they're underachieving. But, it was really funny to see, as I said a little earlier, the graphic on the screen for the AT&T Sportsnet Southwest broadcast shows top bullpens in baseball since, I want to say, May 1st. And the Astros are number one. And in this game, they weren't able to get it going. And then factor in that this offense, it gets some runs early on in the game. It's a 3-0 lead, but they can't build on it. This is the kind of stuff that just makes you feel like it's going to catch up with them against New York.
We love a good home run from Yordan Alvarez last night. It was not to be.
No.
1-1. And he hits this one a mile in the air out to right field. Garcia angling back. He is at the wall. And he leaps and he got it! Elbombe takes back another one from his fellow countryman, Yordan Alvarez. That ends the inning.
Adolis Garcia robbing Yordan of a home run.
Can Adolis Garcia bleep off? Why is he so good?
Do you want to list your bleeps off?
Oh, yeah, just like...
Go ahead. No, seriously, you have a list. What are things that you would like to bleep off? Do you want me to read the list?
You can
if
you want.
Making free throws. Things that would be nice by Paul Gallant. Making free throws. Successfully dribbling. A mute button for Mark Jackson.
That one especially.
The same rules that apply to...
Ime Aduko
and Smart applying to Draymond.
Yep.
Winning a game where Steph couldn't hit a three.
Yep.
Not losing back-to-back games, which the Celtics hadn't done in like 6 months.
Yep.
Adolis Garcia leaping off.
Adolis Garcia, Vanessa, for some reason owns the Astros. It is
incredibly random.
There's always some random guy that owns your team on one of your division rivals, and now Adolis Garcia isn't just getting big hits, but he's also robbing people at the wall. Come on. Also, the Bally Sportsnet Southwest call, robbing his countrymen. Do we need that? I don't know.
It's a bit much.
It's a bit much.
What are the Astros going to do about this, if anything, as the trade deadline approaches?
You know, we get closer and closer, and at some point I suppose we need to put together a wish list, Vanessa, of guys who are potentially on the way out on their teams that are playing first base specifically, but I think you need an alternative bat behind the plate too. Because, I mean, Martin Maldonado makes an incredible play at home plate on that foul tip. Like, it was an awesome play. And we all know, oh, he's this great mastermind that helps pitchers out. But at the same time, he's hitting, like, 145. And you're not expecting him to hit very well. But, like, if your offense is having the issues that it's having and you have so many weak points, can you at least get an alternative bat? Like, Jason Castro, sorry, does nothing for me as that alternative bat.
That's a name that's been brought up. Alex Bregman. Look, they would take him out of the three hole and
move
try
him back,
and,
right?
And send him to AAA before they would try to unload his contract.
No, they wouldn't. But
that's the chatter because people overreact.
Imagine him being sent to the minors. I'm sure he would handle that well.
A lot of chatter about Maldonado as well.
Yeah. The offense needs to be better. Keep on saying it. I've been saying it all year long.
You have. I think you're saying it with a grin because you've turned out to be right.
No, I'm not saying it with a grin. No, now I'm grinning.
You're 100% correct. The offense does need to improve for the Astros, and we certainly look for it to hopefully soon. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant is our occasional invitational is about to kick off at Wildcat Golf Club. More Watson lawsuits are on the way. That's right. That's coming up next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I may have to get some of this Mendocino Farms lunch that they have out here. It looks good. I told myself I wasn't hungry, and then I came in here, but I don't turn down free food.
No.
We are at the occasional invitational at the Wildcat Golf Club. I'm Vanessa Richardson. The man beside me is Paul Gallant. We got Noah out here with us, our boss David, who we love, and Sean Mapes behind the glass back in studio. Yeah, nice day. It's going to be hot.
It is.
Bring your sunscreen, but come hang out with us.
So I was looking something up online. And apparently, the big problem right now, Vanessa, and I can say this as a meteorologist, an online meteorologist, is the Saharan dust. You know, the Saharan dust, man, it just gets in the air.
AJ Brown tried to be a meteorologist. It didn't work out.
No, it didn't. But you know what? He didn't know about the Saharan dust, though, like me.
Like you.
Yeah.
You know the worst kind of person, and you're being sarcastic about it, but the kind of person that thinks that they know a little bit about everything or a lot about everything.
Oh, so everyone on Twitter?
Everyone on Twitter who went from a COVID expert to a political expert to a everything expert.
Hey, listen, Vanessa. Like, a lot of people actually do.
Expert.
You know, I can speak for myself as a meteorologist slash rising gas prices and inflation slash Ukraine-Russia relations slash epidemiologists.
You are good
I'm
with
always
geography.
Right.
I will say this. You're very good with geography. That's the one area where you have it that you're like, oh, South Africa is on the tip of Australia and it's in the southern hemisphere of Iceland. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great.
You know what? If you believe me, though, and I said South Africa is on the southern tip of Australia.
I would 100% believe
you. No, but it's in South Africa. It's just South Africa. That one's easy.
Yeah.
The other ones are tough.
Oh, it's south of Africa.
It's on the south tip of Africa.
Oh, interesting.
See, it's easy. The
Some
other
things
one,
really are that obvious.
I will say that my knowledge of Africa geography is limited.
No idea. No clue. Went to Hawaii a couple months ago with some friends. No idea where. I had no idea where it was.
It's
I
knew in the Atlantic
island.
Ocean. Yeah.
My family and I are going to go to Alabama. I think I have an idea of where it is.
Alabama's in Mexico.
Not 100% sure.
Yeah.
So geography, not my strong suit. Speaking of suits, lawsuits. More for Deshaun Watson. Thank you.
What a transition.
That was a good one. More for Deshaun Watson coming soon. That is according to NBC, Pro Football Talk, and a lot of other outlets. There's going to be two more.
Do we want to set an over-under right now before we get into the specifics of this one?
I would say 28.
Total? I feel like we're going to get to 40 by the end of this. I mean,
oh, by the end?
Yeah, because this is not going to go away anytime soon. There will be more and more. And I think with Vanessa, the way that we found out how the most recent lawsuits came to be, one was just referred to, I guess, Busby through a client that he had in Atlanta. Another one watched the Real Sports
Well, the number is 24, and according to NBC, it's going to get up to 26.
Right.
Your point is valid, and I say that because the NFL investigation, how long have we been hearing that this is going to be wrapped up? I've heard this for at least a month from Rusty Hardin. Roger Goodell was asked about it. Hell, I think he was asked about it at the NFL draft. It's going to be wrapped up, yet it's still delayed. Why is it still delayed? I think that they're waiting to see how many more of these women come forward. Now, what's the difference between 21 and 22? I don't know. But if you remember that there were reporters, Albert Breer said that the Browns weren't expecting the 24th, maybe it was. So the more that come and the more women that watch the Real Sports episodes and they hear about other women coming forward. And look, we've always said on this show, our stance is that we just want the truth to come out. Regardless, we're not like.
But we have made assumptions about the truth. I suppose that we could be wrong.
You maybe have.
Yeah.
But
I have made assumptions about the truth.
And I think that
that's
okay.
Safe assumptions.
I think that there are assumptions that can be made about Deshaun and some issues that he has. Issues is putting it nicely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really nice.
Fetishes and kinks at the very least.
Ooh.
But was anything done wrong legally? I'm hesitant to say because we don't have cameras that were in the room. Regardless, we hope that the truth comes out.
We would not be able to prove him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And that is the legal standard for criminal cases, where civil cases, it's, hey, basically, is it probable that it happened?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's going to be paying a ton of money for this stuff.
Now, to my knowledge, as of this morning, Tony Busby still has not filed that lawsuit that he said he was going to file. Last week, he announced that he would include, quote, the Texans and others. So the Houston Texans added to one of those lawsuits that Tony Busby, who represents some of the women, says that the Texans will be on it. That has not become public yet. And the other only new piece of information, we talked about this yesterday, there was a police detective that investigated some of the criminal complaints. If you remember, there were 10. She testified that she felt Deshaun did commit crimes, but she was not called in front of the grand jury.
If you're a lawyer, if you're Tony Busby in this situation, I think you continue doing what you've been doing because essentially, you know, I've made fun of the NFL for the way that they operate during the offseason, but it feels like Busby has found the way to make sure that there is some fresh seasoning, meat, etc., that is available for folks like us every
fresh
single
meat.
Week because he just wants this to continuously be talked about. And got to say, I mean, the strategy is definitely working. I know that there are a lot of people out there listening, and you're like, Jesus, Paul, like, can we please move on? I was talking to one of my friends last night. We were watching the Astros game, and we were eating wings, and he was like, every time I hear Deshaun Watson talk, I want to slam my face through my dashboard.
Is that what your friend sounds like?
Kind of. Not. I'm exaggerating a lot on that one. And I was like, I do get it, but it's crazy. Like, something new, it seems to happen every couple of days as far as lawsuits and stuff. And there is a part of me that does feel like, okay, it's elsewhere, but there's more a part of me that's like, it was here that it took place. He's elsewhere. It took place here. So
the crimes that were allegedly committed took place here.
Yeah. So I feel like there's just going to be more and more and more and more. And I wonder at what point Watson will actually consider settling, because it is still pretty clear to me that neither Rusty Harden nor Deshaun Watson want to settle in any way, shape, or form.
Think about the fact that Tony Busby announced that he was going to add the Texans to the lawsuit a week before he still hasn't even done it. So he has provided the most content.
Yeah.
Remember, again,
he
announced the lawsuit on Instagram, the first lawsuit before it was ever even filed.
TikTok lawyer.
That would probably be very successful on TikTok.
He's going to do like a floss dance the next time he announces a lawsuit.
There's your idea.
Is that how I go viral?
0145 says, do you think Deshaun Watson's the only one in the NFL to do that?
I think that this level of the amount, the sheer amount, yes. I feel like if you're going to go and do something like this, being a public figure, especially one as public as him, wouldn't you go to one person who you trust and just have that one person do it if this is what you need? The fact that it's this many people, it's just crazy. I suppose there could be other people that have,
sure,
yes, gone, and, sure, and then as Rusty Harden said, who hasn't gone to rub and tug?
Who hasn't had a happy ending? Me, Rusty Harden. I haven't had enough happy endings. Hello. Are there other NFL players who, I'm going to get fired. Are there other NFL players who have probably done things that involve sex or kink or fetishes or making women uncomfortable or whatever?
Oh, definitely.
Of course.
Antonio Brown.
Of course. But
that was like
are
last
there
year.
20 some cases, and is there somebody that went to, at last count, per Jenny Vrintas, 66 masseuses at the least?
The volume is
I don't know about that.
The volume is incredible. That's all you can really say. The volume of these allegations, it is incredible. And it's just going to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't imagine any other player would do this, because I think some would realize if they got close to getting caught that they would stop instead of continuing to increase the number.
And then saying that they have, and I quote, no regrets because they don't feel like they did anything wrong.
He has never disrespected or hurt any woman, ever.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are going to continue this segment a little bit because I want to play some Ian Rapoport audio. And then 87 days until NFL kickoff. Tell us how you feel about tight ends. That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, this isn't breaking news, but in my world it kind of is. The NFL announced that Little Caesars is now the new official pizza sponsor of the NFL.
Oh,
they replace Pizza Hut.
Incredible.
Do you like Little Caesars? Because I think their crazy bread goes hard, but I think their actual pizza isn't that good.
Well, here's an unpopular take. So, first off, I'm weird with pizza because of my dislike of cheese. I like to go extra sauce.
Well,
like
I have irritable bowel disease, so I don't eat it a lot.
Okay.
TMI. You're welcome.
My number one, and people are going to hate this, but Domino's is my number one.
So what?
Domino's started doing a pan pizza about 10 years ago that I think blows.
Like Detroit style?
Like the Pizza Hut. You know, because
okay,
Pizza Hut's meant generally pan pizza.
Yeah.
And I think it blows the – if we're talking about the fast food pizzas, I think that Domino's pan pizza is really good. And it was like $7.99 for a medium pizza. It was awesome. So when I used to be working over at the flagship station, like doing graveyard shifts, like working the board for like Pharrell on the Bench and other shows like that, I would go grab one of those a lot. Little Caesars, I can't remember the last time I had Little Caesars. I think I used to like it, but my number one, and I'll fight anyone on this one, I think the best pizza in town, it's not Star Pizza, it's Pink's Pizza. Pink's Pizza rules. It tastes like actual New York pizza.
Really?
Oh, Paul, you're a Yankee. Shut up. I don't care. I love Pink's Pizza. It's fantastic.
I can't have pizza a lot for dietary reasons.
Me neither.
But when I have deep dish, Star Pizza is unbelievable.
And I think that's a matter of preference because Star Pizza, it's so damn rich. And
yeah,
I know. I'm just like, oh my God.
So Pink's Pizza, you're saying, is the lighter New York style.
Yeah. I really like Pink's.
All right. We're talking about Deshaun. Really, no easy transition there. We're talking a little bit about Deshaun Watson and just the two new lawsuits that are reported to possibly be filed. Now, they have not officially been filed. And Tony Busby has not still officially added the Texans to the lawsuit. But we do have some sound from Ian Rappaport, who talked about the timeline of when the NFL investigation could wrap up.
You know, I do not believe that sportsbooks know what's coming. I believe they take a view of what's happening publicly, make a decision based on the best available information, and then the lines change because people bet differently. I mean, I don't think they know, like, okay, he's going to be suspended X games, whereas Roger Goodell did not, you know, however many games. But I would say the idea is that the Browns would know before they start training camp. So it's June 13th now. Generally, there have been, before everyone kind of says goodbye for the summer in early July or late June, the NFL has had a series of fines or suspensions then. You know, that would be a perfect time to do it.
So what he was talking about, Pat McAfee had noticed and had made it vocal that the FanDuel odds had changed for who would win the Browns division. So the idea was maybe something had happened. Yeah, before training camp is ideal for everybody involved, because are the Browns going to have to make another pass at Baker Mayfield and trying to get him to suit
up? Hey, Baker, you want to come
back? Remember?
You can't
ask your wife to come back after you left her for the mistress.
But how do
right?
you try to do it? Like, what? Say, do you want to? Do you
know
role
what you
play
do?
Here?
You say you're. Wow. Yeah.
Well, listen. You do you want to be? Do you want me to be the wife?
You or be the Browns.
I'll be the Browns. Okay.
I'll
you're Baker Mayfield.
Baker.
Hey, Baker.
What's
look.
Up? Just feel really disrespected.
We know, okay, and you know we thought about it, and we weren't really fair to you when you were hurt. We know that you were really giving it your all. And while maybe things weren't as satisfying as they had been in the past for both of us, I think it can be that again. Okay?
Yeah, so, I mean, the problem is that I helped the franchise to the first playoff victory in 3 decades. I played hurt.
What's it going
to
take, babe? You know, we can do all sorts of things. Do you like diamonds? Huh?
You're really doing the wife mistress bit here.
You see the one that Kobe Bryant got his wife after that thing that happened that no one talks about because it's not cool to because he died? Hey, remember that one? Do you want that? It's a big rock.
I sound like Kobe's wife.
Hey, listen. I'll give you a box of this food because this seems to be distracting.
They just brought us Mendocino Farms.
It does look good.
It does look really good.
Not so fried chicken.
If you are Baker Mayfield, I don't know if there's anything that can bring back other than Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski saying, "Hey, bud, you're under contract," because he is still under contract. He's not a free agent.
If you're Baker, would you act professional when you came back?
I don't think Baker acts professional in general.
Here's the thing, though. He has to act professional if he wants to have a future in the NFL. You can't just because you're mad about your situation, if you are under contract, you have no choice but to come back and perhaps resentfully do your job. And honestly, if he were to come back to the Browns and play well for the Browns in the short term, he would get another opportunity to start somewhere else. I don't know that he would get the kind of contract that he's obviously looking for, but he does have to at some point, you know, put on his big boy pants. And I think that the Browns do know that they have like a little bit of leverage here, unless they are so against the idea of paying Baker Mayfield what they are paying him for this one last year of his contract. But to me, I look at it and it's like, it's one last year. That's it. You know, is it really that much of an
7615 said Browns, "Hey, Baker, we're sorry, and what can we do?" Baker, is this because of the nasty man? I mean, it's essentially probably how the conversation.
How about they pull the Greg Norman? Everyone makes mistakes, okay?
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know.
Shout out to Saudi Arabia.
Not
shout out to Saudi Arabia. 87 days, y'all. 87 days until the NFL season, season kicks off. Who's your 87, number 87 jersey number?
Oh, Gronk. Got to be Gronk.
Yeah.
Greatest tight end of all time. Hey, Paul, what about Tony Gonzalez?
You know, I've heard Gronk is really smart with his money. Like, hasn't spent any of the money that he earned playing. He's just spent the promotion money, or maybe it's vice versa.
And I'm sure he's getting a ton of the promotion money, being that he's a big, goofy, lumbering dum-dum, who is a beloved one
But he's fun.
Right. And I think that is an act. I think he plays that up. I think he's a lot
Absolutely,
smarter.
It's an act.
But you know what? Hey, if you found a shtick and maybe this character can monetize things for you down the road, why not? You know, even if it is like those Stolen Valor commercials that he did. Remember those where he would be trying to get like insurance from this company that only gives insurance to veterans? He's like, hey, can I get it too? It's only for veterans. But I'm a veteran of the National Football
League.
That was
a weird commercial.
They were terrible. I was like,
it's like the one with Frank Thomas, who I love. Shout out to the Big Hurt. But when the Nugenics one is just so weird.
Because he's going to give you the Big Hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So is there anybody on Travis Kelce's level? When we talk about tight ends, we talk about Travis Kelce. We were just talking about Gronk. Who is on Travis Kelce's level?
I mean, Brevin Jordan, obviously. No, I'm kidding. I am intrigued by Brevin Jordan and what we saw out of him last year with the Texans. But yeah, I mean,
George Kittle? George Kittle is the only other one I can think of that's maybe even in the same conversation.
In fact, I prefer Kittle to Kelce, but I can't say Kelsey's worse than Kittle. Because Kittle is one of those guys who I really like, but he gets hurt from time to time, and Kelce is readily more available. But Kittle does everything that I want from a tight end. The reason I like Gronk as much as I did is because Gronk actually liked blocking people. You know, people bring up Tony Gonzalez and the statistics that he put up, and Tony Gonzalez was a good player. Check that. Tony Gonzalez was a great player, but Tony Gonzalez was not one of those, hey, I'm going to block you tight ends. Jimmy Graham, same thing. I like the tight ends who are willing to be absolute maulers on the offensive line when needed. Gronk did that, and George Kittle did that. But the position has changed, and now you would much rather have the unicorn-esque player in Travis Kelce who can catch a pass, deke around four defenders, and run for a touchdown, or you can take a snap out of the wildcat, essentially, and be a weird weapon to use in a goal line
7615, Reggie Wayne. Shout out to 87, my favorite 87. We're getting some texts about
jam.
Tight ends, Darren Waller, Mark Andrews.
Waller is very good in Vegas, so that's a nice one. That's a nice one to throw out
But
there.
Can they touch Travis Kelce?
No, I don't think so.
87 days until the NFL season. We're also getting a lot of pizza comments.
Yeah.
Somebody said that when you order from Domino's, you should order it well done.
Oh, why?
I do like a burnt. I do like a burnt pizza when it comes from a brick oven.
Ooh.
I do like a little bit of black on it.
That sounds good. That
sounds
it is. Good.
Grimaldi's is the only pizza. I don't think I've ever had Grimaldi's.
I think I have, but I think it was one of those days / nights.
4518 says Grimaldi's is the only pizza anyone ever needs to have. I have had, like I said, I enjoy deep dish from Star Pizza. You said I should try Pink's
Pizza. Pink's Pizza is great.
And that's more of the New York style.
Yeah, I'm looking up right now. Where is Grimaldi's? I feel like I've been here before. Yes, I've been here before. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, that's a good spot. Yep, good spot.
Grimaldi's, yeah, a lot of shout out for the pizza recommendations. We've gotten
a lot
of those.
Yeah,
I know. But you know what? Luckily, we are at the Wildcat Golf Club.
Yeah, look at that.
For the occasional invitational. Mm-hmm. We have some listeners who are here going out in foursomes. They're going to have a great day on the golf course. It's a little hot, but it is shady. That's key. There's a little bit of a breeze. And it's fun. So the occasional invitational presented by SiteJab. We got Carbach Brewing. We have Mendocino Farms. We have some kids' meals. Kids Meals is the beneficiary, of this golf outing. So, yeah, a lot of sponsors, a lot of fun listeners out here, and we've had some fun people come up to us today and chat so far. Also, some drinks.
Yeah, getting some drinks in the system. Yeah. No, this is a cool spot.
This is. Both of us have never been here before.
When's the last time you golfed?
Oh, God. I've been on a lot of golf courses. I briefly dated a guy a few months ago who golfed, and I went drinking in the golf cart with him, but I have not golfed in a while.
Okay. Was he a pro golfer?
No, I broke up with him before any of it even mattered, but he liked golf.
Okay.
So that's the last time I've been on a golf course.
Okay.
So yeah, I can drink.
So anyone can.
I can't golf. Yeah. Can I drink?
See, I don't like. I my big problem with golf is that at first I'm generally miserable because I'm not playing as well as I think I can play. But then I have like 2 to 3, and they're like around the middle of the 18. I'm like, all
right, right,
sweet spot. Then I'll generally get like one par or one birdie. Like the only time I don't hit an 8 for a hole.
Do you get
on
angry when you golf?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm competitive, toxic masculinity like in a nutshell.
You seem like the type that gets angry when you golf.
What's wrong with getting angry when you golf?
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Phil Mickelson has to answer for his sins, plus Paul's favorite quarterback getting trolled at graduation. But first, if you own your home, listen to me. Let's talk about TGS Insurance. They're going to deliver big savings in a big way. I know you pay too much for your home insurance. You know you do, but you probably don't shop for better rates because it's a big hassle. It doesn't have to be anymore, y'all, thanks to TGS. They have a new system. It instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers. You get a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text. So take your phone, text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your address. You send it back, and you get that full quote within 15 seconds. This company is legit. The savings are the real deal. Their online rating is nearly perfect. And last year, their average customer saved about $870 or more. So, again, text MONEY to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, the LIV Golf Tour caused a little bit of controversy as we're at the Wildcat Golf Club.
Yes.
Actually, for our occasional invitational, our ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 listeners are up in here. We have lunch. We have an auction. People are going and shooting 18. We just ate Mendocino Farms.
Oh, my God. It's so good. And you know what the key is? That I had their not-so-fried chicken. And since I eat like a wolf, I've already destroyed half of it. But you got to put the chips in the sandwich.
On the sandwich. That makes for a nice crunch.
Oh, I agree.
I had the Farm Club. It was good. So come on out. Occasional invitational. If you can't come today, make sure you come check out Wildcat Golf Club in the future.
It is interesting being in the midst of, like, this is Golf Central. So a lot of people that come here obviously care a great deal about golf. And on every single television right now, except for one where we see Stephen A. Smith, there is Rory McIlroy, because I guess he is doing a press conference for the U.S. Open.
Yes, it is actually live.
I'm wondering if he is continuing his diss track courtesy of the PGA Tour. It's like the most polite diss track ever, where he won't even call out Greg Norman officially by name, but is saying, yeah, it was nice.
I have one 21. More than him. Yeah, one more than Greg Norman, of course, who started the LIV Golf Tour. Somebody that's had to answer a lot of questions for that is Phil Mickelson, of course. The six-time major winner took part in the inaugural event. There's been a lot that's come out about Phil Mickelson, be it his gambling debt, be it some of these choices with joining the LIV Golf Tour, and some people calling him a hypocrite because he's always been so patriotic. And it led to the victims of 9/11, some of their families, writing a letter to him.
And a bunch of other players who joined the LIV Tour.
Yeah, a coalition of families and survivors of the 2001 terror attacks to Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, and expressed their outrage at the players participating in the multi-billion dollar, what they call a sports washing campaign. So it was a very, very uncomfortable press conference. I mean, if you watch this thing, it was like, as a media member, you don't cringe often, especially if you've been through a couple of Bill O'Brien press conferences and whatnot. This was cringeworthy. And Phil Mickelson did have a response to the fact that the 9/11 victims' families wrote him letters. Here it was.
I think that there's a there's an obvious, incredible financial commitment. But more than that, for all the players involved and everyone involved, but more than that, there are other factors that with fewer tournaments, it allows me to have more balance in my life. It allows me to do things that are off the golf course I've always wanted to do. And I find that as I prioritize, those are those that are important to me, people that are important to me going forward, this allows me to have more time with them, be more present, and to share more life experiences outside of golf.
So do you see why I said it was painful to watch? I mean, he literally could not come up with an answer other than money and time with my family for joining the Saudi Arabian-backed league.
Because the question that was asked was outlining that
letter
and was like, so, I mean, how can you join it? I mean, at least he's being relatively honest because no one else wants to touch this with the 10-foot pole, right? I'm not defending Phil Mickelson here. But, I mean, what was it? Dustin Johnson, who was like, I'm thinking about my family. Like, it's Dom Toretto in Fast and Furious. And as I've said before, family is such a convenient shield to use.
I do respect Phil Mickelson starting out by saying there's a financial component to it. Because he probably could have started and ended there. I don't think Phil Mickelson cares that the Saudi Arabians backed it that much. I don't think he cares because they don't have to go to Saudi Arabia. All of these matches are happening, golf tournaments are happening at very nice courses in London, in places like that.
There are a bunch of different feelings that go through my head when I hear about it because the person in me that likes chaos and content that I can talk about on the radio gets a kick out of this entire thing. I think it's really funny because it's like two extremely bougie, snobbish organizations in a sport that I feel like is just filled with cake eaters that are going after each other. And the hypocrisy, that it's really something else. I mean, the commissioner, Jay Monahan, he was asked about the LIV Golf Tour by Jim Nantz on Sunday. And Vanessa, this is what he had to say, Jay Monahan. And my God, he sounds so sanctimonious.
9/11 Families United sent a letter to the representatives of Phil, Dustin, Bryson, Reed, and others, quote, expressing their outrage towards the golfers for participating in the new league and accusing them of sports washing and betraying the United States, end quote. And that's gotten a lot of steam over the last 24 hours. That story first reported again in the New York Post. How much did you talk to your players about the possible ramifications if they sign on with the new league?
Well, I talked to players. I've talked at a player meeting, and I've talked to a number of players individually for a long period of time. And I think you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that there are significant implications. And as it relates to the families of 9/11, I have two families that are close to me that lost loved ones. And so my heart goes out to them. And I would ask, you know, any player that has left or any player that would ever consider leaving, have you ever had to apologize for being a member of the PGA Tour?
I hear that and I laugh because calm down, okay? It's a golf tournament that's paying a lot of money. The other part of me, though, Vanessa, that does have a patriotic side.
Sure.
I mean, had my uncle, who was working in the Pentagon on September 11th, his old office, which actually I had visited a month before he moved out of it, it got hit by the plane that hit the Pentagon. He was in the courtyard smoking a cigarette, and he ended up, because he was working in the Department of Communications, walking over
to
the nearest...
Yeah, you got a lot of East Coast family.
...nearest golf course, and while he was there, they rang up like a several million-dollar phone bill at a country club, much like the one we're at Wildcat Golf Club. Had he died that day, I would feel totally different about that.
Sure.
I remember spending, like, you know, there was like a 10-hour period where we had no idea where the hell he was. I understand there's a lot of people that say, like, okay, well, you're going to do anything that's involved with, like, Saudi Arabia, where some of the terrorists for 9/11 came from. Like, oh, how could you? But there's another part of me where I just wonder, well, okay, but how far do we go on this? I mean, shoot, what, like, how much money does the NBA get from China, which is, like, sending people over to concentration camps for being Muslim?
It's definitely a nuanced issue. And it's personal for some people, and I'm of the opinion that everybody's allowed to feel how they want to feel. I don't think that we've heard the last of it, though,
No. And
I think it's going to continue to be an issue, and you may see guys, more guys go over to the LIV Tour depending on how much they can pay.
There's a level of, hey, they're getting paid a ton of money, and maybe if they were just upfront about it, we wouldn't have this, like, oh, well, how much do your morals cost? It's a ton of money. I would really ask anyone, if you were offered some of the money that these guys have been offered, regardless of how you might feel about, say, Saudi Arabia or maybe
And again,
China.
You're not playing in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
You're going to beautiful golf courses in London and all of that. Yeah, I think it's
How would you feel presented with that much money?
Right.
I'm not defending them. I'm just saying I don't think that we can all say outside of their shoes that we would be like, oh, absolutely not. I won't take $1 billion.
Your favorite quarterback, and I say that very sarcastically, Russell Wilson from Paul's time in Seattle, not the biggest fan, but he did give a nice commencement speech at Dartmouth's graduation. But it wasn't without a little bit of a heckling. He was trolled by a young man in the stands
Good.
Whose mother was oh so ashamed of him. Listen to the audio here.
There he is, Matt.
Russell?
Here's your guy.
Go Broncos! Go Broncos!
Hey, Malcolm Butler!
Johnny!
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No,
Johnny,
guy.
Oh my God.
That guy's a legend.
You can hear his mom so mortified.
Listen, New Hampshire is where Dartmouth College is located. That is a part of the great Principality of New England. And
I vomit when you start talking of your New England fandom, but go ahead.
I think it's disgusting that someone in Dartmouth would say, go Broncos. How dare they? The Broncos, one of the enemies of the Patriots state. And I get it. Oh, I'm probably not from here. I will go to Dartmouth. I'm in the Ivy League. Blah, blah, blah. That's fantastic that someone did that to Russell Wilson as he walked by. You have to remind the man that, yes, he lost a Super Bowl for the city of Seattle. In fact, he has no Super Bowl titles.
You say they cancel out.
Yeah, because like he was carried to a title by the Seahawks defense. They won 43-8.
Legion of Boom.
Right. And, I mean, they barely got to the next Super Bowl in a game where Russell Wilson threw four interceptions in the NFC Championship game against the Packers before going into that game against the New England Patriots. And, of course, yes, you see what happens at the one-yard line. It's all Russell's fault, and he only has zero Super Bowls because of it.
Because they cancel each other out. Yeah, that's our former Seattle reporter and, of course, New England native,
I'm
Paul
very
Gallant.
Objective.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to have a former NFL coach join the show. I'm super excited about this. Rick Venturi joins the program. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.